All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and on the line we have Andrew Hewitt, who is the Assistant Secretary of Allied Health Professionals Association.
Morning, Jacob.
All right, so I guess the kind of first question I'm going to ask, we're wanting to sort of have a bit of, I guess, kind of discussion to get a bit of a kind of perspective from healthcare workers on, I guess, the state of the healthcare system. And I guess to kind of start off, given the lockdown that's currently occurring in Melbourne or Victoria, I mean, in general, the lockdown is going to be eased in regional Victoria today. But to recap from kind of last year, there were a number of criticisms raised about the state of the Victorian healthcare system in terms of its handling of COVID-19, in terms of contract tracing, its overall capacity. Coming into now, I guess, has there been any sort of changes and improvements in terms of the status of Victorian's state healthcare system compared to now?
Yeah, no, to put it bluntly, Victoria got pretty burnt in 2020. Wave one was, you know, it was really a test and a warning of what was to come, and Victoria responded pretty well initially, but the foot was taken off the gas between wave one and two, and there was, you know, it was pretty clear that Australia felt like it dodged a bullet after the first wave, while Europe and the Americas were, you know, all suffering horrendously, and there was a, you know, degree of complacency in Australia and in Victoria in particular. I mean, for example, between wave one and two in May, the Victorian government allocated called the healthcare workers, healthcare heroes reward. They put in $850,000 into a wellbeing centre, you know, to reward the healthcare workers for the hard work during wave one. And it was clear they thought it was all over. And then when wave two hit, we were nowhere adequately prepared. And within a few weeks, the contact tracers, you know, they were getting overwhelmed. The testing sites were getting flooded. It was taking a long time to get results back. And, you know, with such an infectious virus, it was spreading faster than they could keep up with. You know, at that time, the unions were calling for recognition of airborne spread and better PPE and better protection for healthcare workers. But they were relying on the outdated science from the Commonwealth and an ongoing lack of supplies. And, you know, they should have been stockpiling like crazy after wave one, and they should have been looking at what was going on in places like Taiwan and Singapore and South Korea. You know, had all done really well, and they were all using higher levels of protection for the healthcare workers. It pretty much, as a consequence, we started to see large numbers of healthcare workers and aged care workers getting infected in the workplace. And in the end, the healthcare workers' infections pretty much prolonged the lockdown of wave two, you know, by at least by weeks. But as a consequence, Victoria, they started to learn from their mistakes, and they set up the Healthcare Work Infection Prevention and Wellbeing Task Force in August. And then they officially recognised airborne spread. They were ahead of all of the other jurisdictions in that respect in Australia, and they've progressed on and on from that, and they've done really well in the last couple of lockdowns, the last couple of outbreaks. They've learned from last year, and it's been a long, slow process, but, you know, they're much better prepared now, and they're in a much better situation. And now that we've got in Victoria the highest standards of protection in both in the health and the hotel quarantine settings in Australia, we've just been cursed with bad luck now in the outbreaks. But, you know, I just think overall they really have improved their game.
And I guess now that gets into more the kind of federal government's whole deal into this. And I guess I want to kind of hear your kind of comments on the whole federal government's kind of vaccination rollout, which has been receiving a lot of criticisms, especially in terms of this current outbreak. And the current lockdown is arguably would have been avoided if the vaccination rollout was far more advanced than what it is right now. So I'm kind of interested in hearing from a kind of healthcare worker's kind of perspective, the comments on that rollout.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I would have to say the federal vaccination program has just been a disaster, really. And they were late to get their order in. They put too many eggs in one basket, and, you know, they were relying on the Queensland University option. And then when that failed, they didn't really adjust accordingly. Apparently, they screwed up the offer that they had from Pfizer back in June or July last year for, you know, a comprehensive vaccination program. They failed to order enough of the mRNA style vaccination. They spent millions contracting out private companies to vaccinate the aged care and disability sector, and that's just, as we've seen recently, has been an absolute disaster, and the states had to bail them out. Mm. There's been no transparency around the whole thing. You know, their messaging around AstraZeneca has been a failure, and that's created a, you know, huge degree of fear and hesitancy. You know, almost an age discrimination process now, where anyone over 50, you can't access it. It's just been, you know, a disaster from start to finish.
G'day, Andrew. This is Zane here, the other host. I was just curious. I was talking to my partner the other day, and she said if there was going to be mass vaccination of the residents of aged care homes, why would the staff not be vaccinated at the same time? Like, how is it possible that such a small percentage, somewhere around 10% of aged care health workers, have been vaccinated, and such a huge proportion are yet to be vaccinated?
It goes to what I was just saying then about their whole process has been a disaster. They've contracted it out rather than relying on the people who are already expert in these. I mean, the states have got the vaccination programs that they could have accessed. Most of aged care centres in Victoria fall under the federal government control, and they have responsibility for them. The residents and the aged care workers, they actually fell under the phase 1A category of their own, of the federal government schedule for the vaccination program, yet here we are, you know, 4 months in, and many facilities that haven't even started to get vaccinated. And as you were saying, you know, in some centres they'd be vaccinating the residents but not the staff, and they were telling, you know, basically if there was some left over at the end of the day, then they would get the staff vaccinated with what's left over. It's just been an appalling failure from start to finish.
Hmm. And I guess just a more kind of specific question is, given, I guess, with that kind of recent report finding that less than 10% of aged care workers have been vaccinated, which you've kind of covered quite well, but I guess, I mean, what is the situation with kind of like other areas of healthcare in terms of kind of like vaccination rates? Because I guess my understanding was, in terms of the phase we're currently in, I recall that the we're meant basically as priority healthcare workers were kind of like the essential kind of workers that were going to be vaccinated first. And I guess what is kind of that situation kind of there for other areas of healthcare?
What's going on in aged care is mirrored very closely in disability sector. They've really left them to their own devices as well, and that's a real failing, and it's a real problem because they have high degree of vulnerability if there's an outbreak as well. You know, they've been promising them that they're going to turn up at homes and vaccinate the residents, and then they've just not shown up, and or they've cancelled and they've rescheduled. And we've seen this week there's been a scramble to try and get the, you know, disability sector, both the workers and the residents vaccinated. And that's been another huge problem.
And I guess going into, given that we have you on our program, I guess I want to raise what are some of the kind of general issues, I guess, that have popped up for healthcare workers, especially in terms of, I guess, industrial relations, maybe both in the course of this kind of recent lockdown and, I guess, some of the lead up to kind of EBA kind of negotiations that, I guess, are kind of happening, which was all, I guess, in process before this lockdown anyway.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's obviously a very important issue in terms of, you know, the workers themselves, in terms of their, you know, their pay rates and their protections. But I represent the allied health professionals, and they're a workforce, so radiographers, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, podiatrists. And during our actual state, a public sector enterprise agreement was up for renewal in the middle of COVID, and the state government offered options of rollover. So we took that. So that meant that we didn't actually have to put our members through an enterprise bargaining process in the middle of the pandemic in 2020. And as a consequence, we're up for renewal now because it was just a 12-month rollover, basically with a 2.5% increase and all the conditions preserved. But, you know, again, getting back to what I was saying before about this approach to this, you know, that the pandemic's over when it's clearly not. We're now seeing, you know, really quite aggressive attacks by the employers who are the, you know, the public hospitals who are ultimately, you know, employed by the state, but all run as their own individual entities. It's an aggressive attack on you know, just basic worker rights, and it's a really appalling way to reward what they were, you know, lauding last year as their healthcare heroes, and now we're seeing them, you know, coming after their basic entitlements. And on the back of that, we've got the state government who's introduced a wage policy that was at 2%, and they've lowered that down to 1.5% at the end of the year, and basically told our workers that if you don't get this sorted quickly, then you'll be subjected to that 1.5%, which we just, you know, we just think is an appalling response given what our members have been through and given where we're at now.
And I guess going into, I guess, a more kind of general kind of going back to the kind of general kind of political kind of situation, is there has been, I guess, some of the discourse around this recent lockdown from the politicians has been, you know, there's been a lot of kind of blaming being thrown around from the state Labor government, blaming the federal government from its inadequacy. And of course, there's also some of that happening vice versa. And I guess what I guess want to hear, I guess, your kind of honest assessment of both the state government's and federal government's response to this recent lockdown, and, you know, covering both from a healthcare perspective, but also if you have any kind of broader political comments you want to make, feel free to kind of make your comments as well. So, yeah.
It's never a good idea to offer a union official an opportunity to give a political opinion. No, as I said before, you know, the state, you know, they were off to a pretty slow start in 2020, but I have to give them their credit. They've listened, and the unions have been in their ear right throughout the whole process, and they've given us access, and they've basically done a really good job, you know, coming out of the 2020 and into 2021. So, I'm pleased to say that, you know, that they've definitely improved. There are still things that we're not happy with, and there are still some gaps that we see need to be addressed. But, you know, a bit by Victoria is definitely ahead of the rest of Australia in terms of how we're managing the whole process. But, and, you know, the right-wing mainstream media and the federal government, they've been throwing rocks at the state, you know, right throughout the whole process. But, this, you know, the state government has stood firm and consistently driven the virus down to, you know, to zero as fast as they could. And every time it's reoccurred. The Victorian government has realised that there's no safe way to live with the virus, especially now with the variants circulating. We have nowhere near enough vaccine protection across, you know, across the community, and that's, again, as I said, largely a failing on a federal level rather than a state level. And we've seen what's happened to places like Taiwan, you know, where they were in the same situation and they were COVID-free, and now they're overwhelmed by outbreaks. The feds have no real desire to chase COVID zero, and they seem happy to throw Australians under the bus and get their businesses back up and running because they see that as an imperative, which is ironic when, you know, we've shown that if you can be far more economically successful if you actually live without the virus circulating, that you can get things opened up properly. The federal government, it failed us before the pandemic as well. You know, the national PPE stockpile was run down to seriously low levels, and then coming out of the bushfires in the summer of 2019-2020, you know, a lot of the respirators that we've been needing, they were used up, and the federal government didn't restock them. The federal government guidance is still outdated. It still relies on the old dogma of droplet and surface spread, where, you know, the science now is clearly showing that there's aerosol spread. And, you know, their own infection control expert group, you know, which guides the Commonwealth response, is locked onto this old the old dogma of droplet and surface spread, where even, you know, the WHO and the CDC in the US have all moved on and are accepting aerosol spread. So the federal government's really, you know, leaving us exposed and leaving us vulnerable still.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Andrew. I think that's everything we kind of wanted to cover. But I guess, I mean, do you have any final comments you'd like to kind of make?
I just think, you know, people need to be aware that this could go on for a while yet, and they need to be, respectful of healthcare workers and the job that they're doing, and recognise that, you know, it's been a really tough period, and, you know, and there's still possibly more to come, and hopefully, you know, we'll get out of this all safe and well at the end.
All right, cheers. Good luck with the EBA campaign too, and we'll keep an eye on that and give our listeners updates.
Yeah, thanks, Zane. Thanks, Jacob. Appreciate the time.
Yep. Thanks, Andrew, for being on a program. All right. You're just listening to a discussion with Andrew Hewitt, who is the Assistant Secretary of the Victorian Allied Health Professionals Association. Now, I'll just go first. I'll just play a quick announcement. You're listening to Green Left Radio on 855 AM.